Amen. That song is my favorite right now, I'll be honest with you. I love the line that says, lead me to a place where my faith is without borders. That's big. That should be our prayer as a church. That should be our prayer as individuals, as Christians, that we have faith that has no walls, it has no borders, that we'll be willing to do whatever the Lord calls us to do. If many of you have been here with us the past few weeks, you know that we're going through a study on 40 days of community. And today we are 2 weeks away from completing this study, this week and next week. And God, I believe, has spoken to many hearts through this time, has spoken to many hearts through this study that we've done. But today we're going to talk about living a generous life. Living a generous life. You know, when we looked at the sermons as a staff and we're figuring out, when I accepted this, when I was a little nervous about this. Let's be honest, when we start talking about people's money sometimes, it offends them. I have no intentions to offend you this morning, but I do have intentions of speaking what God's word says about it. We can't have community without people being generous to one another. We can't have community without generosity, because generosity shows that we care for one another, that we love one another, that we want to be around one another. Without further ado, if you will have grab your note card out of the bulletin. Wow, that was a tongue twister. If you will get your note guide out of the bulletin, on the screen we'll have the verses as well, but it will allow you to follow along a little bit better. Why do we want to be generous? That's the question this morning. Why be generous? Number one, generosity creates community. Generosity creates community. If you look at 2 Corinthians 9, 11 through 12, it tells us your generosity not only provides for the needs of God's people, but also produces prayers of thanksgiving to God. When we're generous with one another, when we care about one another, when we give to one another, guess what happens? We grow closer together. We grow closer together. When we give to God, when we tithe, when we give of our resources, when we give of our talents, our abilities, our spiritual gifts, then guess what happens? We draw closer to God. That's what happens. That's what this verse is saying. It's saying, you know what? If your generosity not only provides for the needs of God's people, but also produces prayers of thanksgiving to God, it grows us closer to God. It does something for us. Matthew 6:21 says this. It says, your heart will be where your treasure is. Your heart will be where your treasure is. Therefore, wherever you put your time, your money, your effort, your energy, that's where your heart is. If you have a boat, if you love your boat, if you spend a lot of time with your boat, that may be where your heart is. That may be your treasure, because you put your time, your money, your effort, your energy into your boat. Maybe you love your house. You love decorating your house. You love renovating your house. And maybe that's where your heart is, because that's your treasure. And you put your time, your money, your effort, your energy into your home, because that's where your heart is. Maybe it's work. Maybe you love what you do. You love your job. You love what you do for a living. And that's where your heart is, because that's what you treasure, and you put your time, your money, your effort, your energy into your work. That's what this verse is saying. It says your heart will be wherever your treasure is. Wherever your treasure is, your heart's going to be there also. So anytime that I'm generous with you, anytime that I give, if I spend my money, my time, my energy, my effort on you or building a relationship with you, then guess what? My heart is there. Because this scripture says, where your heart is, your treasure is. Therefore, I treasure that relationship. I treasure what I'm doing with you, or the ministry, or what I'm giving towards. Our heart is where our treasure is. This morning, a question to think about as we move through this sermon is, where is your heart? Where is your heart at? Is it with God's people? Is it to see God's people grow? Is it in ministry? Or is it in work? Is it in your boat? Is it in your home? And it's not bad to have those things. It's not bad to enjoy your job. It's not bad to enjoy your work or enjoy your home or your boat. I'm not saying that. What I'm saying is, if all of our effort, time, money, and energy is being spent on that and we're not doing anything else, that's an issue. That's an issue. That means that we treasure this far more than we treasure seeing people come to know Christ or growing in our walk with Christ. Number two this morning, generosity defeats materialism. Would you say that we live in a very materialistic culture? We do. We live in a very materialistic culture. Well, everybody's got to have the next big thing. You got to keep up with the Joneses. You got to get this. You got to have that. So-and-so bought a new car. There was an ESPN documentary called 30 for 30. I don't know if some of you saw that. It was called Broke. And it was these athletes, all these NFL players and baseball players and all these people that earned all these big salaries. They made all this money. And he used to, one of the guys in there, I don't remember which athlete it was, he said, if so-and-so drove up with a new car, he said, I was going to buy one better the next week. That's kind of the culture that we live in. We can't let anybody outdo us. They can't have anything that we don't have. We got to have it just as much as they have it. We need it just as bad as they need it. And what this documentary showed was these players, these athletes going broke because guess what they were trying to do? They were trying to live this very, very materialistic life of where they had to have all the bling. They had to have the nicest stuff. And by the end of their career, when they blew out their knee at 26, they didn't have any money left. And they were filing for bankruptcy. And what this scripture's saying is, you know what? What we're going to look at in a second in the scripture is generosity defeats materialism. Because our culture says you got to get more, you got to save more, you got to keep more. You don't need to give it to people because guess what? Someday you may need it. And that may be true, but as we're going to see in a second, God will provide if we just do what he says and give, and we're generous with one another. Matthew 6:24 says this. It says, you cannot serve both God and money. You cannot serve both God and money. Can you do me a favor this morning? Circle, whether it be on your note guide and your scripture, circle the word cannot. You cannot serve both God and money. What this verse is saying, it is not saying that you can maybe serve God and money. It doesn't say that there's a possibility where you can serve God and money. It says you cannot, therefore it is impossible to serve God and money. You can't have two number ones in your life. Something has to be second. Something has to be third. Something has to be fourth. But you have to figure out what's going to be number one. Is it going to be money? Is it going to be your hobby? Is it going to be something else? Is it going to be something different? Something that you love more than you love God? You have to decide what's going to be number one in your life. And if we're going to be a generous person, if generosity is going to take place in our life and we're going to live a generous life, then guess who has to be number one? God. Because he's generous. Far generous than we deserve. So this morning, as we look at this text, it is impossible for us to serve both God and money. It is impossible for us as individuals to serve God and serve something else. We have to decide what's going to be number one. You have to make that decision in your life. Mom and dad can't make it for you, teenagers. Guess what? Even adults in here, your parents can't make it for you. You have to make the decision to put God first in your life and say, above all things, I'm going to honor him. I'm gonna give to him, and I'm gonna make him known in my life. That's your decision. That is your choice. The third thing this morning, generosity strengthens my faith. Generosity strengthens my faith. I love this verse. 2 Corinthians 9:6. It says, whoever sows sparingly will reap sparingly, and whoever sows generously will also reap generously. Think of a kernel of corn. If we went out and planted one in the ground, we're not going to get one kernel back, are we? No, we're going to get a stalk with hundreds of kernels on it. Tomatoes, all right? We plant a tomato seed or whatever it is, plant. I'm not good with all that stuff. Yeah, okay? I just know that you get more than one thing when you get it back, all right? So if you get a plant back, there's going to be multiple tomatoes on it, correct? You're not just going to get one tomato, all right? Now you're sitting there saying, this guy has no clue what he's talking about. You're right. I have no clue when it comes to fishing, when it comes to hunting, when it comes to planting. But when it comes to sports, I'll give you a run for your money in that one. But when we do these things, it gives back more than just one. It gives back more than just one thing. And that's what this verse is saying. It says, if you sow sparingly, then guess what? You're going to reap sparingly. But if you sow generously, you're going to reap generously. God's going to bless you for the things that you give, for the stuff that you give, for the generous life that you live. You know, we have to ask ourselves, honestly, as a church and as Christians, we have to ask ourselves this word. Do we trust what the Word of God says? And if we say yes, then here's the deal. We have to trust what this verse says and the other verses that we look at today. Because this verse says, you know what? If you give generously, if you give your resources, if you use your talents, if you use your abilities, if you use the things that God's giving you, then guess what? God's going to give back to you a multitude of things. He's going to bless you. Some of you in this room may have experienced these blessings. We had a guy at our old church. His name was John Jury. Big old man. And when I say big, I'm talking like 500 pounds. Big old guy. Awesome guy. He went from, he's the perfect picture of Job. He went from filthy rich, had it all, lived a life. He said, this is a funny story. He said that he loved hot dogs so much from the Chicago Cubs Stadium that he'd get up in the morning and catch a plane to Chicago, eat about 7 hot dogs, and get back on the plane that afternoon and fly back home. That's just his resources. That's what he had. He was able to live that lifestyle. Well, the market crashed. He did bulkheads. And from what I understand and what I've seen, there's a good amount of money in doing bulkheads. And he ended up losing all his money. As the market crashed, as people stopped building homes, he lost everything. He was scraping the bottom of the barrel. But guess what? John was a generous man. There was students that went on missions trip. There was people in the church that were struggling, that couldn't pay their rent. And without knowing it was him, some people knew it was him. Without knowing it, he'd go take care of it. He'd go pay their rent. He would make sure that there was a bag of groceries sitting on their doorstep when they got home. That was the kind of guy he was. And then guess what happened? He was on the flip side. And God blessed him. God made sure his mortgage got paid and his house got paid off. God made sure that their cars continued to stay working when they didn't have any money to fix them. God was good because he was faithful. And when we're faithful and when we do what the scripture says and we sow generously, guess what? We're going to reap generously. We're going to reap generously. And we have to understand that. We have to appreciate that. We have to look at that and say, you know what? I trust that. Because you know what our human nature is? Our human nature is to hoard, to stockpile. It's the complete opposite of give. It's to keep. That's what our nature tells us to do. It says, keep your resources because in the future you may need them. And it's true, you may need them. But if you give now, what the scripture tells me is God will bless you and your needs will be taken care of. But we have to trust that. If we're going to live a generous life, guess what? We have to be a generous person. We have to give generously. And we have to realize that God will provide for us. If we just live according to what he says. Something that we need to, actually let me go back for a second. Jesus said this. This is big. I want you to write this down. Life doesn't consist of what you collect. Life doesn't consist of what you collect. It's what you give. Life doesn't consist of what you collect. It's what you give. Because let's be honest with it. No, there's nobody that hearse is going to drive off into heaven with a U-Haul attached to it. It's not going to happen. You're not taking your belongings. You're not taking your stuff. You're not taking the things that you've accumulated all this time. So why hold on to them? Why just keep them and let them rot and let moths eat them, as it talks in James, keeping your stuff and it's going to get destroyed because that's what matters to you. Take your resources and give. Be a generous person. Because let's be honest this morning. We're talking about generous. Why are we talking about generosity? Because God's generous. Before we even move any further, I want to make this clear, and I want you to understand, and many of you do, God needs nothing from us. He needs nothing from us. He could do it on his own, but here's what's great, is he wants something from us. He wants to use us. He wants to use our resources. He wants to use our talents. He wants to use our life. He wants to use our finances to do things for his glory. We should cherish that. We should cherish the opportunity to be used by God. Because God does not need us. And I pray that we never as a church, we never as individuals in this room, get to a place where we say, you know what? That church needs me. Or that person needs me. No, because God can multiply and give us 15 of you. But God wants to use you. God wants to use your talents. He wants to use your gifts. He wants to use your generosity for his glory. And we have to recognize that. Number 4 this morning. Generosity is an investment for eternity. Generosity is an investment for eternity. 2 verses right off the bat here. Use your Luke 16:9. Use your worldly resources to benefit others. In this way, your generosity stores up a reward for you in heaven. The second verse, 1 Timothy 6:18-19, says this. Tell the rich to use their money to do good. Let's stop there for a second. I was reading an article. The rich, somebody's saying, well, that doesn't apply to me because I'm not rich. Do you know that the poorest person in the United States of America is in the top 5% richest people in the world? Okay? So therefore, by that article, we're all rich, all right? We're all rich. So this verse applies to us. Use their money to do good. Giving happily to those in need. Always being ready to share with others whatever God has given them. By doing this, they will be storing up real treasure for themselves in heaven, the only safe investment for eternity, and they will be living a fruitful Christian life down here as well. You know, there is no greater investment than the kingdom of God. There's no greater investment. If you take the time to work in Awana and work in students, volunteer caring hands, involved in different ministries in the church, there's no greater investment that you can make. You're using your gifts, you're using your talents, you're using the things that God has given you, and you're giving it back to Him, and you're using for your glory, for His glory. There's no better investment than the kingdom of God than maybe sponsoring, and I'm not promoting this mission trip, I don't want you to think that, but sponsoring somebody for a mission trip, allowing them to go share the gospel, allowing them to be used, or maybe volunteering at VBS and taking something off the tree and bringing back what they need for food. God can use what you have. You just have to be willing to lay it on the table and say, God, use me. God, use me. That's the question this morning. To be a generous person, we have to be willing to be used by God. Because guess what? You make a living by what you get, but you make a life by what you give. You make a living by what you get, but you make a life by what you give. I'll never forget this. Growing up, we didn't do a ton of missions projects. We didn't do a ton of missions work. But I went to a church in Orange Park. They were doing a benefit concert. It was $5 to get in, and you could buy some food while you're there. And it was to raise support to go on a mission trip. And as I was there, they were doing this music and stuff, and I'm going to be honest with you, it was a bust. They were expecting hundreds of people to show up, and there was like 20 that showed up. And they had these meals that were packaged up. There were chicken sandwiches with bags of chips and cookies. And the concert was over. There's literally 100 boxes of food, and the youth pastor's like, I just don't see it as being right to throw this food away. He said, do me a favor. He took about 10 of us. He said, call your parents, see if you can stay out later than curfew. You'll be with me. And he said, we're going to go downtown Jacksonville. And I was like, uh-oh. Do I want to do this? Do I just want to go ahead and fake phone call and tell them mom said no? Or do I want to get in the car and go experience about what's going to happen? Because I didn't know. I'd never been exposed to this stuff. We got in the car and drove down there. And it was life-changing for me. We took these meals, and I'm not kidding you, man, they came out of everywhere. When we popped open the trunk and said, come get some food, and we handed out the food, we were giving the food, and we were able to sit down through a chicken sandwich and talk to these people and minister to these people. And I'll never forget a conversation. He said, I'm not a bad person. I haven't made any mistakes. He said, the reason that I'm sitting on this curb tonight is because, one, I couldn't get into the men's shelter because my daughter and wife, I waited in line until they could get in at the women's shelter. He said, I just lost my job. That's it. He said, I just lost my job. That's all. That's the only reason that I sit here. That changed my heart because I'll be honest with you, I looked at homeless people in a different way. I always blamed them. I said, you know, why are they? They're just low down, good for nothing. And it changed my perspective of why people are on the streets and they can't provide for themselves. But I'll never forget what happened next. There was a guy named Larry. He was a crazy guy. He was loud. He was obnoxious. But the dude had a cell phone. Therefore, there was a connection made. We were able to get in contact with him. We were able to minister to them, these people ongoing. Well, Larry had two teeth, one here and one here, okay? And Larry began to build this relationship with Larry. We would bring him back to the church. And again, I didn't go to this church. I was just involved in this segment of ministry in this church. We would bring him back. We would feed him. We would allow him to take showers. And we would show him a movie in the student ministry building. And then they would get him back on the bus and take him back to Jacksonville. But Larry, we built this relationship with him. And the student ministry began to see a need for Larry. Teeth. That was the need. They just wanted him to have teeth. Well, as a student ministry, in a month's time, they raised enough support to go get Larry false teeth. Pull the other two teeth out and get him false teeth. What they didn't know was Larry had begun to lose his teeth when he was 19 years old because the streets was all Larry knew. He was never able to get dental care. He was never able to have great hygiene because he just didn't have the finances. He didn't have the family that provided that for him. I saw a video of when Larry looked in the mirror for the first time with a full set of choppers on. Boy, that was a big old smile. That was a big old smile. Through a chicken sandwich, false teeth, 2 months later, Larry got saved and baptized and was involved in serving in the church because of somebody's generosity. Because of somebody's generosity, they were willing to live a generous life, and they said, you know what? We see a need. Let's fulfill this need. Let's fulfill this need. The next thing this morning, number five, generosity blesses me in return. Generosity blesses me in return. There's a lot of examples of how generosity will bless somebody in return. We're going to look at Deuteronomy 15:10. It says, give generously and do so without a grudging heart. Then because of this, the Lord your God will bless you in all that you work, in all your work, and in everything you put your hand to. Circle the word all and the word everything. What this is saying is, it says, you know what? The Lord will bless you in all your work and in everything that you put your hand to. Again, do we believe that? Do we trust that? That God's going to bless us in everything we do and everything that we put our hand to and all that we do if we just give generously. I believe that there's some people in this church that have given generously. I've seen them give generously. And guess what? I see the blessings that are poured out upon their life. And I'm thankful for those people. I'm thankful for those individuals. You know, we trust God with our salvation, but sometimes we don't trust Him with our finances. We trust God with our salvation, but we don't trust Him with the issue that we're dealing with in our family. We put our faith and we claim to be a Christian. We claim to be a follower of Christ and to trust God with everything, but there's little things that we're holding back. That's not complete trust. That's not trusting Him with everything. Rick Warren shared a story of his church. Many of you are familiar with who Rick Warren is. He has a mega church, one of the biggest churches in the United States, if not the world. Rick Warren was a student in seminary in Dallas, and he moved he felt the call to go just plant a church in California. And he went there with no church building, no congregation, and very little money, but he went there. And as he got there, he ended up planting the church and growing the church, and it's become, like I said, a mega church. Well, there was a need for a piece of property that was kind of in the vicinity of the area and to continue to grow, to continue to build the buildings that they needed. And the county owned it. And the county told them that we will not sell this to you. The only way that you can get this piece of land is we will trade you a piece of land. Rick Warren was like, well, we don't have any other land. I don't know how this is going to work out. We need that land to continue growing. But Rick said, the whole time I just trusted God had a plan. And what they wanted was an environmental type piece of land, something that had endangered species on it. That's kind of what they wanted in trade for their property. Well, Rick Warren, when he was about 19 years old, he went and preached a revival in Northern California. And he stayed with the family. At this time, he hadn't made contact really with this family since he had stayed with them and preached the revival at their church. But they called one day and said that they had, and I don't remember the exact number, but hundreds of acres in semi-valley is what it's called. From what it was described in the story was that it was kind of in between the mountains and it had a ton of endangered species on it. And for 70 years, this family owned this piece of land, and not one time were they able to develop it. The county wouldn't let them develop it. They wouldn't let them build on it because of all the endangered species. And so they called the church and they said, Rick, for what it's worth, you know, we don't know what you want to do with it, but you do with it what you please, but we want to give you all of this land. And Rick was like, wow. God has answered a need. He's answered a prayer. And they exchanged this land. They deeded it over to the church, and Rick traded about 20 acres is all he had to trade, and there was many more that the church got to take, invest in, build a retreat center, and grow even further their ministry. And I believe that when we are generous, it blesses us in return. Guess what? Those people now are a part of his church and are able to see what God did through their generous gift. What God was able to do through when people give willingly, when they give freely, when they give what they have, their resources, their talents, and their abilities. Number six this morning, we're closing up here in a second. These two are big. These two are my favorite points this morning. Generosity produces happiness. Generosity produces happiness. Acts 20:35 says this, there is more happiness in giving than in receiving. There's more happiness in giving than receiving. You know, when we go through life, the most happiest people are those who give. Those hosts who do things for one another. Those who give their gifts, they give their resources. They will go out of their way to do things for you. Those are the happiest people. The most angry people, the people that get mad all the time and don't ever feel like, are those who don't give. They hoard. They keep. This is mine. Because you know why? They're scared to death that if they lose something that they have, that life's going to be over. Because therefore, their identity is placed in their stuff. They care more about their stuff than they care about others or care about loving others, because that's what God tells us to do. You know, God says, I want to produce happiness in your life, but the happiest people are the most generous. I'll share a couple more stories with you. Many of you know I traveled with the Ticket Ministry before coming here as a student pastor. Traveled around preaching at many different churches, and I shared this story with you probably 7 years ago, the first time that I came and preached here and did a discipleship now. But we started this ministry as college students. Therefore, you can think back to when you were that age and how much money you had. We didn't have a lot of money, but we saw a need to go minister to smaller churches. We were a larger church. We wanted to minister to smaller churches because guess what? We knew, one, they didn't have the finances to do what we were able to do every Wednesday night. And two, we just wanted to do ministry. We wanted God to use us. We had a group of kids like that stood up here on this band that played every week in our praise band and said, look, God's given me a talent to play guitar. God's given me a talent to sing. God's given me a talent to preach. I can lead a Bible study. I can just be a prayer warrior. I can run sound. And these people came, we came together and said, let's do the Ticket Ministry. Let's go travel around and minister to different student ministries. To make a long story short, it came to a point in ministry where guess what? We each ran out of money. We couldn't continue to pay for the gas. We couldn't continue to fund what we were doing. And we needed some equipment. We needed some sound equipment. We needed some cords, microphones, different things like that. Well, in a week's time, we began to pray, and God began to provide. I don't know where. To this day, I have zero clue where all of our sound equipment, all of our lights and all that stuff, I don't have a clue where that came from. God just blessed us because someone was willing to be generous. Well, many of you know I own a truck. We grew out of my truck bed. I was the only one that had a truck. I was the one that was able to drive at every event and trying to transport the stuff. We'd put a tarp over. And I was the one that was able to take the stuff from place to place. And we weren't able to do that anymore because we had too much stuff because God had provided. Well, my neighbor called me at 8 o'clock one morning. And he said, hey, man, I'll be over there in 10 minutes to pick you up. His name's Tony. He said, I'll be able to pick you up. He said, I'm going to take you somewhere. And I was like, this is weird. All right. One, it's a Friday at 8 o'clock in the morning, and I'm not up at 8 o'clock on Friday morning. And so I don't know why you're calling me that early. And two, you want me to be ready in 10 minutes. It takes me like 5 minutes to wake up. So anyways, I got ready really quick. I ran out, got in the truck, and we took off. And I didn't have a clue where we were going. And we ended up getting to a construction site. When he pulled out there and he says, wait here, he gets out of the truck, and he's looking around, and he's inspecting this trailer. And I'm like, what in the world is going on? Like, what does he need me here for? And I'm starting to get angry because it's taking a while. And then he comes back to me and says, hey, come out here and take a look at this. So, again, trailers, one of those things you can check off your list I don't know a lot about. So I'm literally walking around just looking at it. Like, man, nice tires. You know, kick the tire. Seen a guy do it one time, thought it worked. So I'm looking at it, inspecting it and everything, and I come back, and I'm like, looks good, man, looks good. Did it get, yeah, go ahead and buy it. And then he's like, all right, I'm going to get it. And I was like, what are you getting it for? He's like, it's for you. And I was like, am I starting a business I don't know about? You know, am I about to work for you that you didn't explain to me? He said, no, it's for your ministry. And I was like, what? He's like, I know that there's a need there. He said, and I want to provide. I want to give to that need. He said, I can't do anything else in your ministry. He said, but I can give you a trailer. He gave us that trailer that day. Well, the next phase of the story, I took the trailer because it did have two holes in the floor of the trailer. It was an 8, and I could be wrong, 8 by 12, I believe is what it was, boxed in, covered trailer, two holes in the floor, and we needed to, that were rusted out, and we needed to get those put back together somehow. And so he's like, hey, go to this welder guy, Mr. Britz. He'll take care of you. And I was like, okay. So I drove over there. Mr. Britz, a great guy, great Christian man. And he's a talented, very good welder. And sat down with Mr. Britz and showed him the trailer. I showed him the holes, and I said, hey, you know, we need to get this fixed. And he said, okay, it's not a problem. He said, well, let me ask you, what are you planning on doing with this trailer? I was like, explain to him what the ticket ministry was. He said, oh, man, that's awesome. He said, so in the future, what do you kind of see in here? I was like, well, we want a place where we can put the guitars where they'll be safe. You know, want some shelves so we can kind of separate some stuff. And we have truss, so we'd like to hang the truss on the wall to just kind of make a lane where you can get back and grab what you need at any time. Cool. Sounds good. I'll give you a call in a few weeks. Well, a month went by, and I'm like, Mr. Britz, dude, they said you were one of the best. What's taking so long? You know? And he said, come out next week, it'll be done. So I drove out there, and I pull on his property, and he's got just a shop and some land, and I don't see our trailer. I'm like, what in the world? Where's our trailer at? And he, I get out of the truck, talking to me. He said, come over here and take a look at your trailer. I said, Mr. Britz, that ain't my trailer. That ain't the trailer I brought to you. He said, it is the trailer you bought for me. He said, we did the holes. The doors were dry rotted, so we went ahead and replaced those. Went ahead and painted the outside. Your guitar rack's back here. Your shelves are here, and your truss is on the side. And I said, okay, I don't know how to pay for this. And I said, what do I owe you? And I said, because all I got is $50. And he said, man, he said, you don't worry about it. And I said, Mr. Britz, that's like thousands of dollars worth of work that you just put into our trailer. He said, you don't worry about it. I said, why? Why do you care enough to give over and beyond what we asked for? He said, Justin, he said, I'm a 70-year-old man. He said, I never pick up a guitar or can sing in front of a group of students. He said, I'll never be able to get up and preach and relate to a group of students. He said, but what you're doing, you guys can. And he said, you can see lives change through your ministry. And he said, I just want to be a part of it. He said, I just want to be a part of it. And this is the way. This is an opportunity for me to give what I've been given, the talents that I have, and be generous with you and give you what I've given. Two things happened during this time, and two things that we see. One, God is working when we don't even see it. God's working when we don't see it. He is. I had no clue that Tony nor any of those other people going back wanted to donate stuff to our ministry. Because honestly, we were just a bunch of punk teenagers that felt a call to do something, and God used us. Many ministries that do what we do phase out in 2 to 3 years. This year will be 7 years that we've continued to do what God has just called us to do and be obedient, and he's provided. You know how many times we've taken a check from our ministry? One time. And it was because we did 2 weeks of camp consecutive, and we couldn't afford to take off for those 2 weeks. God has provided when we're obedient, when we just do what he's calling us to do. The second thing, lesson that we learn here is this. Generosity creates miracles. Generosity creates miracles. First Baptist Church of Umatilla, buddy of mine Blake is a student pastor there. They built a building. They had a building that was they wanted to build that was about $3.5 million. You know what happened? Somebody decided to be generous one day, came to the church office, not a member, don't know if they were a Christian, and wrote a check for $2.5 million. Miracles happen still, but guess what it takes? It takes us being generous and us being obedient to God and saying, God, use me. Use my resources. Use what I have. Use my talents. Use my abilities. And if we surrender and say, God, do that, guess what? Miracles take place, and God changes people's lives. Last one this morning. We're going to finish up. Number 7, generosity makes me more like God. Generosity makes me more like God. John 1:16 says this. It says, we all live off of God's generous bounty, gift after gift after gift. John 3:16 says what? For God so loved the world that he what? He gave. God wants us to be like him. And if we're going to be like him, then guess what we're going to have to do? We're going to have to be generous because he gave his one and only son. You want to see how serious I believe in God's word? It shows us that generosity is. Listen to me here. God talks more about giving, about generosity, than he does about heaven or hell in his book, in his word. How about this? The word believe is used 272 times in the Bible because God wants us to believe. The word pray is used 371 times because God wants us to pray. The word love is used 714 times in the Bible because God wants us to learn to love. And the word give is used 2,162 times because God wants us to give. He wants us to be generous with one another. He wants us to love one another. He wants us to be kind with one another. He wants us to use the gifts and the resources and the things that he has given us for his glory. Don't forget this, though. God could care less about what the gift is. He could care less about the amount. You know what he cares about? The attitude. Your attitude when you give it. Your attitude when you tithe or out of obedience to God's word, or if you serve in a ministry, it's your attitude. Why are you doing what you're doing? That's what he cares about. Last verse and we're done this morning. 2 Corinthians 9:13 says this: you will be glorifying God through your generous gifts. You will be glorifying God through your generous gifts. You know, my parents taught me from a very young age to tithe. They did. They taught me what it meant to tithe. I was around them when they wrote their tithe check, and I saw them tithe. And they shared with me right before me and Mariana got married. They said, "Justin, outside of marriage, if we can teach you to do one thing, if you've learned anything from us, know this, do this, tithe. Be faithful in your gifts. Be faithful in your generosity." Because she said this. She said, "There's been many times where me and your father, we wouldn't have had enough money to pay the rest of the bills. If we wouldn't have wrote the tithe check, we would have been fine." She said, "But the first check that we write every week is we give what we've been given to God. Because we know that if we don't, that's not ours." And she said, "There's been many times where we didn't have enough money to pay the bills, but somehow, some way, God provided." And I believe that that's what that verse is saying. You know what? You will be glorifying God through your generous gifts. You'll be glorifying God through your generous gifts. You may not be involved in this church. You may not be serving in a ministry because you know what? You don't want to use your gifts. Well, I'm just going to encourage you in the kindest way that I can when it's time to stand up and do something. God did not give you your gifts and your talents, I don't care how old you are, for them to be wasted away by you not serving, by you not being generous with them. I'm sorry. He didn't give them to you to sit there. Because there's some people that I see in sports that I'm just like, man, they're so fast, but they blow it away by making dumb decisions. Why couldn't I get that speed? Why couldn't I have done that? And some of you, some people look at you and say, man, I just wish that they would get involved because we can use them. Be generous with what you've been given. If you will bow your head and close your eyes. I just want to ask you two questions this morning. Will you ask God, yourself, asking God, how you can live a more generous life? How can you live a more generous life? Secondly, this morning I want you to ask yourself, what is holding you back that is keeping you from living a generous life? What's keeping you from maybe serving in a ministry and using your gifts and talents? What's keeping you from maybe giving to an individual? God wants to use us. As you keep your heads bowed and your eyes closed, in a second I'm going to pray. But before I do so, I just want to ask you. This morning, maybe you need to make a decision to trust Jesus Christ as your personal Lord and Savior. Maybe you need to give. Maybe it's something that God's just put on your heart and you say, you know what? I want to give financially. I want to give to this fund. I want to give to this ministry. If that's what God's calling you to do, we're not going to stop you from doing that. Maybe this morning God is saying, you know what? This afternoon, I know that there's a family in need. I know that there's people that need something, and I know that I'm able to provide it. This morning, this evening, I pray that you make a decision, maybe to go help that family out some way, some capacity. This morning, I pray that before you leave this room, this building, this church, that you will make a decision that may change your life. Maybe it's someone you need to be more generous with. Maybe it's a decision to trust Jesus Christ as your Savior. Maybe you're just ready to stand up and say, God, use me. I got gifts and talents that I need. I want to use. I want to be used for your glory. Let us find a ministry and plug you in. Let us allow you to serve. As I pray this morning, in just a second, we're going to stand up and sing. Don't let this time pass you. If the Lord's moving you to make a decision, if he's moving you to make a commitment, if he's moving you to do something, do it. Father God, thank you for this day. Thank you for this morning that you've given us to open up your word, God, and share it and study it with others, God. I pray that as we take this time and we reflect on our lives, God, that you find us, you put in us, you show us a way that we can be more generous. More generous with you, more generous with others, God, that we can allow community to take place through our lives because we are being generous people. Father God, move during this time in the lives of these people. In Jesus' name, amen.